Today's discussion is going to be a two-part discussion about taking Chol HaMoed trips in general, and then when on Chol HaMoed trips, how to properly behave and proper conduct. So first I wanted to thank Chaim Shrek for sponsoring this morning's learning and the breakfast. Now Rav Nevensal says that there are two inyanim, two areas of halacha that Americans are very, very weak on, and that is the areas of Chol HaMoed and Amir L'Akum. We'll save Amir L'Akum for a different Sunday. But today we're going to discuss a little bit of Chol HaMoed, not all the different halachas in Isurim, but at least the inyan of taking trips, whether it's something that's advisable, recommended, or not. So the Gemara Mitzvachim tells us, Daf Kuf Tesem and Aleph number 1, Taner Rabbanan, Chayv Adam L'Sameach Banav Uvnei Beisel Beregel. There's an obligation that a person has to rejoice with his children, with the entire household, on Yantif. Shenemar V'Samachta B'Chagecha. Pasuk says you're supposed to rejoice on the Yantif. With what do you rejoice? B'yayin. Through drinking wine is how you make yourself besimcha, you make your children besimcha, your wife besimcha. Yehuda Omer Anashim B'Roi Lehem. When it comes to men, whatever's appropriate for them, which is V'Nashim B'Roi Lehem, we'll see in a second what that means, and women, whatever's appropriate for them. D'hainu Anashim B'Roi Lehem. What's Roy? What's fit for men? How do they become besimcha? By drinking wine. And when it comes to women, he says, Nashim b'mai. So Rav Yosef says in Bavel b'bigdei tzivonim, by giving them nice colored clothing. Beret Yisrael by very bigdei pishon b'ukatsim, very nice clothing as well. So we see from the Gemara that whatever is appropriate for each person, whether it be men, women, or children, b'roi lehem, that's how you're mesamech them. The Gemara gives some examples, wine and nice clothing. The question becomes, is that beyond? Does that go beyond these examples? And also the Gemara says only beregel. Beregel sounds pashas anyantif itself. What about Chol HaMoed? So the Rambam already, the Merdaik from the Rambam in number 2, in Hilchas Yomtif, he writes, Shivas Yomim HaPesach, the 7 days, the 7 day unit of Pesach, Ushmonas Yimei Chag, and the 8 day unit of Sukkot, Im Shar Yomim Tovim, with the rest of Yomtif, Kulam Asurim Behesped V'Tainis. So the Rambam says, Shivas Yimei Pesach, the 7 day unit, which includes Chol HaMoed, of course, as well, and the 8 day unit of Sukkot includes Chol HaMoed. So these days, says the Rambam, are chayv adam lihios behen sameach v'tov lev, that you have to be happy, you have to be good-hearted. Hu banov v'isho b'nei beso v'chol anil v'mei olav. Anyone who you relies on you to be supported, a child, a wife, everyone else who's in the house, there's a din of simcha, kol shivas hayamim, all 7 days of Pesach, all 8 days of Sukkot, including Chol HaMoed. So there's an obligation of simcha on Chol HaMoed. How do you accomplish Simcha? So we know now Simcha applies to Chol HaMoed. How do you accomplish Simcha? So says the Rambam, Yesh Bechlal Oso Simcha L'smoach Hu Ubanov V'nei Beso Kol Echad V'Echad Kira'i Lo. Whatever is fitting for each person. What you might like for Simcha, it might be very different than what I might like for Simcha. I might like going to a baseball game. You might like going to an election. Oh yeah, okay.
Lecture,
okay. Whatever your wife likes. So the Yerayim writes further. The Yerayim says, not only is it wine for men and clothing for women, he writes, Kol davar shemisameach es ha'adam, anything that makes a person happy, v'chol davar shenoda shesimcha hulo, chayv adam lasos, whatever makes you happy. So it could be going to a Yankee game, it could be going to Great Adventure, it could be going to a shir, it could be anything that makes you happy. Even though the Gemara said wine for men and clothing for women, that was just examples. That's very common, that makes a man happy and makes a woman happy. But the Sefer Yerayim expands to anything that might make a person happy. Seems like there's no limit. Could be playing video games would be enough. The guy plays video games all Chol HaMoed, that might be enough to make him besimcha.
Does that mean it doesn't mean that you necessarily have to give the guy in to...
Correct. According to the Sefer Yerayim, anything, that very good point, anything that will make them happy, not necessarily wine and not necessarily clothing, according to this, very good. Now the Rambam says there is a limitation. There's a certain point where a person can't go. Where is that restriction? So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Yom Tov Perek Vav Halacha Chaf, Kishadam ochel v'shosef samech beregel, when a person is eating and drinking and becoming happy on regel, lo yimshach b'yayin, he shouldn't let the wine draw him, it was chok v'kalas rosh, it shouldn't let it get out of hand. Shokom mi shon yosef b'zeh yarbev b'mitzo simcha,
when it gets too far, there's too much drinking, when a person gets drunk, inappropriate,
That's not called simcha, el holos v'sichlitz, frivolity, inappropriateness. That's not the command. Simcha has to be within a certain framework of acting properly. So that's cut off. You can't be drunk. That's certainly where you draw the line. But below that, what's considered simcha? Drinking and eating meat and clothing are simcha. But what does the Yireh mean when he says everything else that makes a person happy? Does that mean going to a Yankee game? Does that mean going to a great adventure? What's included in this simcha that the Yireh seems to be referring to? So the Yishalmi writes something very scary for many of us. Yishalmi Moed Katan. Moed Katan, of course, is called Moed Katan because it's talking about Hilchas Chol HaMoed. It's a miniature type of Moed. The Yishalmi says that Klum Asru La'asos Melacha B'Chol HaMoed. The only reason why Chol HaMoed is asked to do Melacha Ella, Kidei Shehu Ochlin V'Shosin V'Yigin B'Torah. In order that we sit home, we eat, we drink, and we learn. This seems to prohibit any Chol HaMoed trips. Great Adventure. My in-laws have planned a very nice one this coming year. We're going to have Great Adventure, staying over at a hotel one night in Navo Cabo. So I'm not sure if I could go yet. At this point, I can't really go. I'm supposed to be sitting and learning.
Is that a cancellation?
It might be. It might be a refund for you.
What your wife wants.
All right, she might. Maybe I'll stay back. At this point, I can't go. I have to sit and be learning. The Mishnah Berurah quotes this Yishalmi number 6, and he quotes at the end the Kolbo, who says the same thing. The Kolbo, one of the Rishonim, he quotes from the Yishalmi, or seems to develop this based on the Yishalmi, Nir mizeh iser gadol b'schok yosem imlacha shekavanas Hashem yizbarach b'nesinas hamoed. The whole reason why Kadosh Baruch Hu instituted an iser of melacha on Chol HaMoed, kidei lihidabek b'yiraso, in order to cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'avaso, to his yira, to his ava, v'la'asok b'taraso ha'tmima. Now, I haven't been to Great Adventure in a long time, but I don't think I'm going to be accomplishing that by going through Great Adventure.
Depends
so,
which
what?
Depends which ride
I go on. Right, I don't go on, I don't like roller coasters. So is there a heter to go on any trips? So the Ramosha is talking about a situation of Sukkos. Sukkot this year, you know, right now is Pesach coming up. But the question was posed, is a person allowed to go on a trip on Sukkot? Because the problem on Sukkot is there's no place to eat. You don't have a sukkah. So now if you go to Adventureland, they have a sukkah. We went there a few years ago. Problem is it gets very windy over Sukkot, and then the sukkah got blown away. So you're allowed to go on a trip if there's no sukkah to eat. So either you could go on the trip and just not eat, or maybe there's a heter for you to eat outside the sukkah. The Gemara talks about holchei drachim. Person who is traveling, a holchei drachim, he's allowed to go ahead and miss sukkah because he's going to perform a mitzvah or he's going to make money, he needs to make a parnasa. So the question is, number 7, Rav Moshe was posed the following question. Im mutter latzeis letanug ba'alma lemakam shelo yeh lo sukkah. Can you go for an enjoyment, for some trip, a leisure trip, where there's no sukkah? I imagine Great Adventure probably has sukkahs, if it, you know, when they have during the times of Sukkot. They have kosher food probably also. But let's say I want to go somewhere different. I want to go, I don't know,
Yankee Stadium.
There's certainly no sukkahs, at least when I used to go. It's been a while since I went to the Yankee Stadium. I was at the new stadium one time, but I doubt they have a sukkah there. So we want to go there. So you can live a few hours without what's like a 5-hour ordeal. Right? It's an hour to get there, 3 hours to sit there, and then an hour to come home. It's 5 hours. So it's 6 hours now. So you could probably live 6 hours without eating a meal. Let's say you want to go somewhere really, really far away. You want to go on a hike. You want to go hiking up in Maine somewhere. Beautiful place to go. There's no sukkahs in Maine. So are you allowed to go and just eat, take a sandwich with you and eat? So yes, there are other heterim. You could drink water. You could have some fruit outside the sukkah. But let's say you want to have a meal. You're going to be starving. You need your energy. You need a big breakfast before you start your day hiking up in Maine. Is there a heter to go on that trip on sukkahs and miss? Is that considered holchei drachim? So Rav Moshe writes, Kishu Lidaver Rishus, when a person is going for a voluntary trip, this is not for a mitzvah, it's not for parnasa. Parnasa is also a mitzvah, by the way. Anyone who learned Daf Yomi this morning, Daf Lamed, quote from the Mishnah Chavtes, that there's a mitzvah, the father has to teach their child a trade, a parnasa, to make money. It's a mitzvah. Many sources that there's a mitzvah to work and to make money. So the guy's not going to make money. He's going Daver Rishus. He's going to just spend time with the family. He's going to see the beauty of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Is there a heter? Says Rav Moshe, he thinks there's only a heter of holchei drachim when you're going to for business purposes, for a certain tzarech. Aval l'tiul, or l'tanug, for a little trip, a little hike, a little enjoyment. Balma she'ein laze shum tzarech. There is no need for that teal. Ain't no klum. It's meaningless in halacha. Masha b'shvil tavaso for hanaso, his own personal taiva to go hiking, to get in shape, to spend time with family perhaps. Yotze me beisa to leave the house and leave the sukkah. Kevin shelo haya yitzia so af mi beisa letzarech. There's no need. He thinks at the end, he writes, Mistaver, it's logical, it's sensible to say, going on a trip is leka, sukkah is aser. If you're going to a trip without a sukkah, there's an iser to miss the sukkah. Now, you have to be very clear. He's not saying going on a trip is aser. He's saying going on a trip where there's no sukkah is aser. So you could also go without eating a meal. You could also go Pesach where there's no issue of a sukkah. The question is that there's no iser, is that something that's advisable? Is that encouraged to go on a trip? Is there some value of going on a trip just for going on a trip in Chol HaMoed? Is that considered a simcha of Chol HaMoed? We said drinking wine for men and nice clothing for women and toys for kids are all simcha. Is going on a trip considered simcha? We know that it's usher, according to Rav Moshe, to go on a trip if there's no sukkah.
But that's assuming that there's a person who spends the entire 7 days in the sukkah. What happens? Let's say a person goes to work and then he comes to the
very good.
There's probably going to be many who come home from work. They might go eat in the sukkah in order to be, you know, yotze the chiyuv, and then come stay the rest of the day, morning, afternoon.
You're mechavim to Rav Yashav. Very good. Rav Yashav says this exact point. So we'll get there in just in two sources. We'll get there. Very good. So, Chabad Das writes as
follows. Yeah. When I say this, he said it also. I mean, if your wife said, "I want to go on a trip," you know, and you say, "Well, it's." Yeah.
Okay. All right. You need to know his humor. That's all.
No. What's the answer to that? It's so, Rav Moshe says it's usher.
Right? So I think right. Trip, right. No. Yeah. You're right. No. Shalom bias would also indicate probably a certain heter as well. It probably would. Let's build it up. So Chavad Das writes as well that a teal also a person is not. Does not remove his obligation of a sukkah. You can't go on a trip and miss sukkah. You have to make sure that where you're going there is a sukkah, or you are not eating at all when you go on the trip. But then at the right, he has very, very stark lashon. He writes to the end of source number 8, Mikol makom adif limana mitiulim b'chol hamoed. He advises very strongly not to go. He discourages trips.
Still
Rav Moshe? No. No. A person should dedicate his time to learning. He quotes the Yushalmi, Moikatan Klum Asru La Sos Malacha Bachal Hamoid Ella Kadesha Yehu Ochlim Bishosim Veoskim Batara. Tosin Chagiga brings this. And then he quotes a Gemar and Sukkah Vakayotzi Beze Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Mishabeach Ani, I would praise as Hatzlanim, the lazy people, She'en Yotzim Mibatem Beregel. Those who are lazy and just stayed home all Yontif with their family in the Sukkah, eating in the Sukkah, those were the ones who were praised. So Rav Adi was very, very against going on trips, even though he said this is a person could go away, but it's usher to go away if there's no sukkah. He was very much against it. But Rav Yashar writes in Saharos on the Masecha Sukkah, he quotes this Chuvas Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe was also against it, at least when there's no sukkah. He thought it's not true. He thought pretty much what Moshe was saying, that the, where that line goes, page 144, I think. 114. He says, nowadays, where people either are not in the sukkah all the time, or they're just people go on trips a lot of times also, they go on tulum all the time, then that's bichlal teishu kein tediru. The halacha, we know when it comes to sukkahs, teishu kein tediru, you live in the sukkah like you would do in the house. So people are not always home in their house, people go on trips, they go vacationing all the time. So now during the 7 days, 8 days, I have to need to be in the sukkah, I'm also allowed to travel, no different than the rest of the year. So there's not an obligation for me to always be in the sukkah, and like just like I travel, and I won't always have meals in my house, so too I could travel on sukkahs and not have a meal in my sukkah either. And on those grounds, he brings another idea as well, but on those grounds, Rav Yashar permitted one on sukkahs to go away, to go on a trip, even though he'd be missing not eating in the sukkah.
But you have to avoid the foods that you're not supposed to, or you're
no
allowed?
Bread. No bread.
It sounds like Rav Yashar says that you're allowed to even have bread. It sounds like from Rav Yashar. You could even have bread and full meals outside the sukkah. Now, I'm not paskining here. It's certainly strongly encouraged to be choshish for Rav Moshe, or not sukkah's time anyways. But it sounds like even full meals you could have outside the sukkah when you go on a trip, a little teal, just for leisure.
Yeah. I was asking that and more. I was saying, even if a person is not traveling, let's say he goes to work, or he doesn't go to work,
okay.
There's probably many people who, you know, when they're at home, they're just not in a sukkah.
He right. Says it at the end. He says, if you have a conversation with somebody outside the sukkah, you're not going to hear the mitzvah of sukkah.
And therefore, pretty much what you're saying, that right. People don't spend all day in the sukkah as it is, so therefore going away for the trip. Let's see what he says here. A person who has a conversation with his friend outside the sukkah, you're not being mafkia the mitzvah of a sukkah there. So too, when a person goes out, but that's... That's a different type of raya there. People are not makbid on that either nowadays. Yeah. But sleeping is more difficult than trips. People, right. You could just refrain from going on the trips. That's something you can manage. Sleeping is harder to manage. Either way, Rav Yashav says there is a heter. But what comes out, is this still a keem? Is there a keem in going on trips? So right now we got around the problem of eating outside the sukkah. Rav Moshe says one cannot eat outside the sukkah on a trip. And Rav Yashav said there's a heter to eat outside. But is there a value, is there an idea of going out to trips in the first place? Is that something that's encouraged? Rav Avadia was very against this. The Yushalmi says we only have an Isser Mlacha, there's no work just so we can learn. Going on trips, there's no learning involved, no Divuk Hashem.
And are we putting Pesach and Sukkot on the same footing here?
Yes. So let's see. So I'm going to bring a few rayas that seem to indicate that going on trips, there are, even back then during the times of Shulchan Aruch, there is a value in going on a tiyul. If you look at number 11, Shulchan Aruch here in Hilchos Yontif, it's really talking about the Isser of doing Mlacha in general in Yontif. But we have a concept that for Ochal Nefesh, you're allowed to cook on Yontif. You can even carry outside. If, let's say, you ran out of food, you could go to your neighbor. Let's say there's no Eruv. You could carry on Yontif. And you could do other Mlachas for Tzorech Ochal Nefesh. So Shulchan Aruch writes in number 11, Mitoch Shehutra Hotzala Tzorech Achila, just like carrying outside an Eruv on Yontif is permitted for the purpose of eating. Hutra Shalol Tzorech, it's also permitted when it's not needed. Kigon Katan Velulav V'Sefer Torah V'Kelim. So let's say it's in Sukkot, Yontif, not Shabbos. Sukkot, and there's no Eruv outside. I could carry my Lulav to Shul, even though there's no Eruv. Lulav has nothing to do with an Achila. But there's still a Heter, once it's permitted, this Malacha. It's permitted for Ochal Nefesh. It's permitted also for a non-Ochal Nefesh. It has to be a Tzorech. The Tzorech, in this case of a Lulav, is getting the mitzvah of Dal Aminim. A Sefer Torah to learn from, to read Kriyas HaTorah from. Kelim that I might need. But what's the case of a Katan? Why do I have to carry a katan outside? What would be the tzorech of carrying a katan if that an eruv? Oh, maybe a bris milah.
Take him to shul, no?
Take him to shul, maybe. So look what the Mishnah Berurah writes. Number 12, the Mishnah Berurah says, "Im yesh la'av gaguim al beno v'yismach ha'av l'tal imo." If the father has a certain enjoyment, a certain simcha that he has by going on a nice little walk around the block with his son or his daughter, and the son needs to be carried or maybe pushed in a stroller, and there's no Eruv, that's permitted. Mutter dehu simchas yontiv u mikre tzarech hayom. So we see that there is an inyan, even during the times of Shulchan Aruch and Mishnah Berurah, that going on a little trip, a tiul, a walk around the block, a trip to great adventure, spending time with your children does qualify as simchas yontiv. And you can even violate an isser of hotzah on yontiv in order to mimkai in the din of simchas yontiv by spending time with your children. There's another halacha brought down in Hilchas Chol HaMoed, number 13. Mi shetzarech lirkov b'moed l'tayel. And a guy needs to go, wants to go on a trip. He wants to travel somewhere. He needs to go on a horse. Or l'tzarech moed. Either for a tzarech moed, to go shopping, let's say, or just to go on a trip, l'tayel. To go see a Kadosh Baruch Hu's beauty. To go spend time with your family. Lo naso l'leches b'raglav. He can't go by foot. Yachol litol tziparne hasus. You could fix the feet, the nails, the hooves of a horse. U'lesakin b'raglav. So you could do it, and we know in one of the Isurim on Chol HaMoed is to fix things. You can't do any Malacha on Chol HaMoed. Certain things are permitted, certain things are not permitted. If something is a professional type of Malacha, a Maisa Uman, you can't do that on Chol HaMoed. Right. So I imagine, I don't know anyone here who could probably hurt you. Yeah, so I don't know, you probably have to know what you're doing. You need to know what you're doing. You and I can't do this.
You can fix the car.
Like an oil to use it for a trip.
Exactly. Okay. You're going, exactly. Same idea. They say, just from this halacha here.
You can fix the car.
Just like I'm going here, l'tayel. L'tayel is in contrast to tzarech moed. Tzarech moed, or to go on a tiul, to go on a trip, to go to a great adventure, to go to a Yankee game. I'm allowed to fix my horse. So in our day and age, I could fix my car. My car broke down, needs an oil change, needs more gas. I could fix it to get to where I need to get.
That's not breaking down.
Tires.
We're talking about the tires or something broken.
Right.
Gas and oil is not broken.
Okay, different examples. So either way, we see that you're allowed to do certain things that would normally be usher in Chol HaMoed in order to go to get to a trip, to go on a family Chol HaMoed trip.
Can you view going on a trip like we're charging so you could learn?
Ah, so beautiful. Let's get right into that. This was not set up. So, So could you view, maybe the break could be a break to help you get to learn to the next point. It's supposed to help you learn more. Right now we're viewing, I hope I proved, that there are two halachas that just spending time with your family or going on a trip could break certain halachas. You could override the Isser Melacha on Chol HaMoed, you could override the Isser Hotzah on Yontif for the purpose of hanging out and spending time with the family. So what this chashuv individual in the back is suggesting, that that perhaps the idea of taking a break during Chol HaMoed is to help you get recharged and learn afterwards. So I guess that means we shouldn't have shir during the week of Chol HaMoed then.
What so, that's for a person who learns all the time.
So even people who don't, even people who are busy working and they're finding time to learn, they also need to be recharged. So Rav Chaim Kanievsky in his Sefer, Orchos Yosher, talks, he has the first two simanim here. He describes here in the beginning of his Sefer that he's giving just, not Musar, but some areas of Yiddishkeit that require some chizuk. So he has a list of 30 different areas that he thinks require chizuk. So the Gemara Bracha says each generation has its own areas that need chizuk, so he has a number of them. So the first two is, this MS is number one, and then Bittul Torah. So you can imagine Rav Chaim Kanievsky's perspective of Bittul Torah, right? So he quotes a number of scary sources of Bittul Torah, the different onshim you get for Bittul Torah. Now at the end here, now I'm not really sure why it's in brackets. I'm not sure that means it's secondary or added later on.
Censored it, maybe.
So, oh, by the way, this was by Tzvi, this version. It was Refuah Shlema for Uncle Roby. But, okay, anyways, at the end here, he has in the brackets here, in terms of talking about Bittul Torah, he wants to raise the following point. The Isser of Bittul Torah and Dvarim Batalim, the Kavanah is not that it's Asr, even one Teva, even one word. That's only for certain Bali Madrega. People who are in high levels who are learning all day long, so then every word, every second is considered Bittul Torah. For regular people like you and I, so that's not the Gedder of Bittul Torah. Now, what is the Gedder of Bittul Torah? What's the Gedder of Sichas Chulin? So I'm not sure how he gets this Gedder. I was discussing with Weimiger Friday night. I don't know how he gets this, but he quotes from the Chazon Ish, 10 minutes of talking and just schmoozing. That's considered, okay, now you should start getting to learning. But 10 minutes is considered enough, but it's tolerable Sichas Chulin, what he says. So then he goes on to quote that he heard b'shem a number of people from the Gra, that the Mishnah Avos tells us that there are 48 ways to be Kone Torah, as we know. 48 different Kinyanei Torah. One of the things listed as Kinyanei Torah is called Sichas, rather, Miat Sicha, minimizing the amount of talk, which you and I would probably define to mean just talking very little, learning and not wasting time. You're trying to avoid, trying to lessen the amount of Sichas Chulin. So he quotes from the Gra, that's not the pshat that you're supposed to minimize. You're supposed to proactively create, have Sichas Chulin. You're supposed to talk. Because a person were to learn constantly and without breaking, his mind would explode with all the things he's been learning. You need the breaks. You need Sichas Chulin. It helps you have the interruptions. Like Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara Rashi tells us, you need the what the space is for in the Sefer Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu needed some time to absorb, to internalize, to understand what he's talking about, and then he can move on to the next topic. So says the girl, that's what it means, miyat sicha, you need to have miyat sicha and take pauses in your learning. You know, learning a 6-hour seder is very, very hard without any breaks. Learning 3 hours, learning 1 hour can be very hard. That's why it's always important to have stories when giving a shir, because they need a little break to just absorb what they heard and then move on to the next topic.
Recess.
So recess, right, exactly. Kids need recess, adults need recess. So that's the idea of sichas chulim. So maybe we could view this week of Chol HaMoed as an opportunity to recharge, and it will, in essence, be mekayim in this din of Tam Torah. The Yushalmi says, why is there an iser of malacha on Chol HaMoed? It's in order for us to learn better. But now in this light, maybe it's to give us a break, so that when we go back to our regular Seder, we can recharge and learn even better. So anyway, that's the first part of things that we do see, that there's an Indian of going on a trip. Now I'll add on top of this, it's an important opportunity to discuss, breaks are important when it comes to learning. Even if you're not learning all day, and you're working and learning at mornings or nights, it's important to have breaks. I remember when I was in yeshiva, so Rabbina would always say how important it was to be normal and to always take breaks. So when I learned during Hakotel, so I always said Motzei Shabbos was going to be my, I won't learn Motzei Shabbos. That's going to be my break for the week. I need that break. That was for me. Now to this day, even though it was served as a bracha, it was a healthy balance for me personally, it's now a kol, I cannot learn Motzei Shabbos now. Even if I try to, it's already ingrained in my head, I can't, I say this week I'm going to learn Motzei Shabbos. This is going to be, and I can't get it done. So I already, but either way, for me, it's been a healthy balance. The, remember when I was in YU, so also had a pretty rigorous schedule there. So Thursday nights, we would come back to my house late, me and Mike and a few other guys, and we would play, PlayStation, I think. After coming home pretty late at night, 12 o'clock at night, we needed our break for the week. So we'd play four-way baseball. I think we'd have like full night tournaments till like 3 o'clock in the morning. And that was our, full break. And then next Friday morning we learn and then go out and play basketball. But we needed our 3 hour to 3 a.m, our PlayStation of, I think it was baseball and football, whatever. I think it was baseball. So just to tell other people who were there as well, I hope they don't get embarrassed by this. But you're the only one who's not in teaching right now. But one of the other ones is now a close friend of ours, Rabbi Ari Leibowitz, not from North Woodmere, but from Shalvim. He's a Skan Mashkiach in Shalvim right now. Another one, Rabbi Yigal Sklarin, is a Rebbe in Ramaz. And Rabbi Sarel Malitsky is a Rebbe in TABC. He also just became assistant rabbi in a shul in Edison. So,
they all have PlayStations in their yeshivas.
That much I don't know. I don't have one anymore, but I have my in-laws to go to play PlayStation there. But these are, important to have these healthy breaks. Whether you're learning a lot or whether you're working and learning, it's important to have these healthy breaks. It's very, very healthy. And we see Rav Chaim quotes from the Gruswell, the breaks are very, very important. Now, I don't know if you'd advise playing PlayStation.
Okay. Stop the PlayStation.
We always hear examples of big people. So are there any examples of big people taking breaks?
Big people, sure.
There
are? Sure, 100%.
And they slept.
Yeah. I was talking to Rav Weinberger. I walked home from the Shalom Zachar Friday nights.
I'm sorry?
I walked home with Rav Weinberger Friday night from the Shalom Zachar. And he was telling me his schedule, which is a pretty intense schedule. So I said, but don't you feel sometimes that from learning so much, your mind is going to just explode? So he says, yeah, sometimes he does feel that way. So he just gets out and reads some stories about tzaddikim. That's a different way of taking breaks. But yeah, sometimes even big people need breaks in their way, whatever way it is, whatever level they're holding in. Okay, now let's move now to the issue of conduct on Chol HaMoed. Every Chol HaMoed, the Yeshiva World comes out with this article about how people, the Chil Hashem that takes place on these Chol HaMoed trips, different places, leaving garbage and screaming and being inappropriate and yelling at the workers there and cutting lines. So that's, needless to say, Chil Hashem is the biggest issue that happens. But I want to speak a little bit about the inyan of Gezela and Choshen Mishpat, how it relates to cutting lines. I'm sure everyone here has experienced, one point or another where someone cut a line. My mother-in-law has a story she likes to say over, that she was once waiting online in the bagel store, and a lady comes running in, says, I'm in a big, big rush. Now, I double parked outside, I don't want to get a ticket, can I order first? What? It only happens in Central Avenue.
Well, in Borough Park, they don't ask, they just
double park. Okay. So, the Shulchan Aruch writes in number 15, Hilchos Dayanim. Hilchos Dayanim is the first section of halachas in Choshen Mishpat. So number 15, it talks about an order of how a dayan should take the cases as they come forward. So Mechaber writes, Tzarech hadayan shiyaktim ladun hadin shebalafan of tchila. The dayan should judge the case, whatever is presented to him first. That's the first case that he should deal with. Aval tzarech lahaktim din shel tamid chacham afil balavasof. But if let's say there's a line coming in, and then a tamid chacham walks in, he needs his case to be dealt with, that Talmud Chacham has the right to come first. Now, the people who are the Amei Haaretz who are there probably won't really appreciate that so much, but that's the din, that the Talmud Chacham is able to cut the line. But there's a concept of a line, first come, first serve.
They're all Amei Haaretz, they would all think they're
tzaddik. Okay, so then they think they should come first. So how do you who decides who's the Talmud Chacham?
Exactly.
Okay, the dayan makes the decision. Right. So the Sma writes here, number 16, he comments on this Mechaber, Nir delo bibia lebeisin tchila talya milsa. The line forming does not depend on who shows up first. Those guys who are waiting before Black Friday and Thanksgiving, waiting outside doesn't work like that. Camping out. When does a line begin? El misha shehem mit asma lifnei adayin, v'adayin heichen es asma lishmo tanaso. When the court, the judge finally comes out, he's ready to listen. That moment, whoever runs up first, he's first in order. But if there's a long line waiting, knowing he's not going to come out for another hour, that line is completely meaningless. It's only when he's ready to judge the case, whoever's in front of him first, he gets the first case. That's where the Sama paskins. I'm not sure about that, but depends how you define Kol Dalam Gvar. But we don't apply that to the Kol Dalam Gvar, if you're being serious about this. It's only really applied when they're fighting about a certain Din Torah. Not in a line, though.
So if there's, let's say, 10 people standing, then it's a rush like the Kohan of the Raph?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. That's what it sounds like. Sounds fun, right?
Yeah, but if people orderly got in line before, you wouldn't say you have any right to, as soon as he gets there, to just run in front of those people.
According to this, the line is meaningless until the dying's ready to judge whoever comes up first. We're going to get to some explanations. We're working our way through. The Rambam writes in another context of Karbanos, he writes number 17, Hilchos Tamidim Musafim Perek Tes. When it comes to the order of which Karbanos go first on the Mizbeach, it goes in whichever one's more chashiv. So the Menachos are Kodmin Layayin, and the Yayin come before the oil, and the oil comes before the Lavona, and so on and so forth. And then the Rambam qualifies this order. It's only true bisman shebo kulam kachas. If they all walk into the door, into the base of Mikdash at the same time, to whichever carbon is more chashuv, the mincha is more important, and the yayin and yayin more important than the shemen. Aval haba rishon kar rishon, haba achron kar achron. But if they came at different times, whoever came first, first come, first serve. That means, even if the guy bringing eitzim, bringing the firewood for the mizbech, comes before the guy who would bring the mincha, the guy with the wood, brings first because he was first on line. So we see there is such a concept of lines, first come, first serve. Now, in a very interesting tshuva, I'm not going to go through the whole thing at all, but the tshuva Tzitz Eliezer is discussing when it comes to a doctor's office. And there's a whole line of patients coming in, there's a doctor have to follow who comes in first. Let's say he comes in and sees his friend in the back. Or maybe there's a guy who's a Talmud Chacham in the back. Could he have him come first? So he gets involved in a very, very interesting discussion here. What goes to be discussed, let's say, Arabs versus Jews and things like that. Could you take the Arab before the Jew if he came first? Is there such a concept of Kadima? So an interesting topic I don't want to go through right now, but I just brought it for those who are interested in going through this.
What about seriousness of illness?
He doesn't discuss that for some reason, but that would also be something that should be taken into account. Now, the last piece, which is not in front of you, I just quoted from Rabbi Bonner. Rabbi Bonner has a beautiful sefer called Tzia.
But it could very well see with the illness. If you're not sick, you go to the emergency room. And in the emergency room, you do get treated according to series of illnesses, whereas in a regular doctor's office, maybe it doesn't apply.
Correct. So for some reason, he doesn't address that point of the seriousness. It could be in a different tshuva he does, but that, I would imagine, should be taken into account when talking about who comes first. A Talmud Chacham, someone, a child, someone who's severe, someone who's going to die. I remember when I was once playing basketball in YU, so I got stitches. Someone hit me in the head. I needed stitches, so my father, who's a doctor, took me to Holy Name Hospital in Teaneck. So I was sitting in the emergency room next to some guy who got like a stab in his stomach, a wound in, and I got to go in first since my father was a doctor there. And so I got like, a poor guy was like he's bleeding. So connections help sometimes. Okay. So, right, Bonner.
Left you in stitches.
Okay, so right, Bonner, in his sefer called Mamon Yisrael, Other People's Money, it's called in English, he discusses the concept of cutting lines. He talks about also saving lines, spots for people in lines. See, in the footnote, he discusses from a number of different gedolim what, or even if there would be an isser. Now, he paskins there, it is an isser to cut lines, not on the grounds of being a chil Hashem, that certainly would be a problem of cutting lines. Violating Chil Hashem, but he quotes from Rav Yashiv, who suggests that cutting a person in a line would be a violation of Isser Shel Avak Gezel. It doesn't define what Avak Gezel is, but it's somehow a derivative of actual Gezel. It's not real Gezel. You're not taking something from somebody. You're not going to the guy's house and taking his wallet. You're not stealing a car. You're not taking anything of substance. But still, we'll get to that point if it's stealing their time. It could be also they own their place. That place might be theirs. We'll get to other definitions. But right now, it's a avik gezel. It's a derivative of a gzela, but not real gzela, because there's nothing, no mamashis, nothing of substance that you're actually taking. So Rav Yosher Paskin, that it is usher to cut lines. Then he quotes from Rav Zalman Nechemia Goldberg, who says that there is no gzela at all. Standing in a line, you haven't taken anything. There's no mamashis. Nothing has been taken from him. There's no iser gzela. But he thinks it's aser for a different reason. There's an iser because you're not stealing from the person who you cut. You're stealing from the bal hachanas, the one who owns the store. Why? What's the iser? You haven't taken anything off his shelf. You're not taking money from him. He says because you stepped into his chatzar, you stepped into his room, into his courtyard, into his store. Fine. And in his store, he has certain rules. Even though they're not posted, he has certain rules, a certain conduct that you have to respect to follow his rules. And when a person comes into a store, into an office, into a restaurant, there's a conduct the person has to follow. And then by you not following his conduct, you're trespassing. You're trespassing the Baal Chanus. You didn't do anything wrong to the guy you cut. That's okay to him, from his perspective. It's the owner of the store who you mistreated you didn't follow his conduct. And therefore, it's considered trespassing. And that's the Isser that's taking place here, according to Rav Zalman and Chaim Golder. Then he quotes an interesting tshuva that he received from Rav Chaim Kanievsky about this. And he heard a story once that different rabbanim, including him, was Rav Chaim's father, the stipler, were once waiting on a line at the bus terminal in Tel Aviv. And they're returning back from the levaya of Rav Menachem Zemba. And one of the people noticed the stipler and other gedolim standing in the back of the line. So they said...
Menachem Zemba was killed in the
war. Yeah, how did that work? That he was moved.
Wait, maybe they said the levaya of the Rav Menachem Zemba. I guess maybe they're moving it.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
I don't know.
The Matzeva after.
So they said to him, one of the people recognized the stipler among other rabbanim standing in the back of the line, and they said, you know, maybe you guys should cut to the front of the line, being the, you know, the gedolim that you guys are. And the stipler responded, if you ask every person in front, rishus, then I'm more than happy to. But other than that, you have no right, I have no right to cut the line, just because I'm me and doesn't give me any right at all. And you're trying to make us into gazlanim, one of them said, by making us cut the line. So Rav Chaim wasn't sure how to interpret this line of the gezela. Is it really an iser gezela? Did Imamish mean it was an iser gezela to cut the line? Or no, it was a very ugly thing to do. And therefore, it was considered like gezela, but not real gezela. He wasn't sure, but certainly it was something that the stipler and the other rabbanim felt was something that should not be done of cutting lines. Now, then he quotes from the Chazon Ish that he thinks it's mamish, there is an iser gezela. Why? Because he quoted the sources that we saw before that there's a concept of waiting on lines. When it came to the Beis HaMikdash, the guy who came first, whether it was a Mincha, whether it was a Shemin, whether it was Lavona, whether it was Eitzim, whoever came first to the Beis HaMikdash, that line started there. And there is such a concept in Halacha of lines. And when it comes to the court case, whoever comes first, leaving aside a Talmud Chacham, whoever comes first, he's first in line. So there is such a concept in lines, and therefore Chazon Ish thought there was a real Iser Gzela of cutting lines. So we have a whole range of shitas. Then he quotes, also in the name of Chazon Ish, a different understanding, that he thought there was an issue of Hasagas Gvul. Hasagas Gvul is encroaching on someone else's property. So if I have a neighbor and the guy slowly starts moving the lines and taking inches away from my field, that's the Isser of Hasagas Gvul, a type of gezela. So this testimony in the name of Chazon Ish felt this was the same idea of Hasagas Gvul, that I have my place in line here, and the guy's cutting in front of me, that's an issue of Hasagas Gvul. And then finally, the last opinion he suggests, which is also in the name of Chazon Ish, apparently a few different perspectives he had on how we view cutting lines, he felt there was no Iser Gzeil involved, but there's a certain way that the society runs, and the way the world runs, of keeping lines in a certain order. And that would be a violation of being what he called being Poretz Gidrei Olam. You're breaching fences of the world. We have a society. The world functions in a certain way. And by you not keeping to those rules, that's a violation of, he doesn't really call what Isser that is, but keeping the world in a certain society.
What if that locale, for instance, Eretz Yisrael?
Right. I was wondering the same thing. Yeah.
All of a sudden the doors to the bus open up and... There's no such thing.
Yeah, I was wondering the same thing. Israel's its own bria. I don't really know. I don't know. I'm not sure. It could be each country seemingly has its own way of functioning. So if that's the way it is, then maybe... right.
Putting aside Israel, what about here where, first of all, it's a question of midos, and what about Chil Hashem?
Right, so Chil Hashem, I said in the beginning, that certainly, Chil Hashem is certainly a factor. Now in Eretz Yisrael, there's no issue of Chil Hashem. Everyone does that. That's what's done.
There is. Because there's Haredi and there's Chilonim. If they see the way we act, Then there is chilonim.
No, but let's say in Meir Sharm, where there are no chilonim. It's all charedim in Meir Sharm. Everyone's going for the chilon. No, so that's...
It's like a known thing. You're waiting. There's no...
Yeah, but anything we do, they look at us like...
It's true. No, it's true. If you go to certain places, they'll look at the way person's dressed and how they're acting. I agree. It will be an issue depending where you are in Eretz Yisrael or any other place.
So I have a question. Picking on Meir Sharon for a moment.
Okay.
If everybody behaves in that mechor way and it's become an accepted way, then all of a sudden there's no Chilul Hashem. It's still not midos, just because everybody agrees that this is going, this is the way that we're going to behave here. There's no way the Eivishter has some nachas ruach from that.
It depends.
Chilul Hashem is still by us first, not by the God.
No, I agree, but how do you define what's Chilul Hashem? If the way they function is by no order, then that's not a Chilul Hashem. That's what they understand. That's what they respect. But for us, it's hard to understand that.
But that's a reader of Midos, nothing else.
Not necessarily. If that's how they're brought, that's how society is. So that's how society is, and it's not Chil Hashem anymore.
Chil Hashem.
I
don't know why I'm pointing out, but.
The question is, that might come down to the root. Are the lions because of Midos, or that's because how they function properly? Is there real halacha of the lions? But again, if a certain, to me, I don't think that's how society should be run. But if society is running in a way where there are no lions, and it's just everyone pushes their way in, I don't think that's the greatest thing in the world at all. But if that's what everyone's comfortable with, I don't think that's going to generate a Chil Hashem. That's what they're used to.
So why, maybe you shouldn't call it a Chil Hashem. Maybe it's just... A lack of midos is bottom line. A lack of midos.
Could be.
Just because society has is at such a low point doesn't mean it's not wrong.
So I guess the question also becomes, how do you define midos also?
Right.
Is that considered a? Is that a?
How important is it? Maybe they say the West is a little mishigas with all this politically correct. Everything's.
It could be. So I don't know. I don't know if that about not having lines is considered lack of midos. For us, it is. I would incline to say it is a lack of midos. I'm just wondering if it is really considered an issue of midos.
We look at it as a maybe.
Exactly. I don't know. I'm just suggesting. I'm not suggesting to have disordered lines. I'm just saying just to... Right, okay.
So that was
Kol Dolman Gvar, you said before. Kol Dolman Gvar, you just have the fist fight until you get what you want.
I didn't get an answer on speed pass though yet. That's why I can't.
So the speed pass and the fast pass is certainly okay because that's how Disney runs their parks like that. If you buy the extra money for the speed pass and the fast pass,
then you're
that's how it works. Okay, anyways, we'll stop here. Everyone should have a Chag Kasher Sameach, a lot of simcha in their trips and spending time with the family. And remember always to make a Kiddush Hashem wherever you go.